Well, turn in your Bibles tonight to Daniel chapter 3, third chapter of Daniel. It's a story that most of you are familiar with, but it has some good implications for our lives today. And we see here in chapter 3 that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had made an image of gold, and he had made a decree or a law that that every day people were to bow to that and worship to that that god, if you will. And but we know Daniel and his friends, his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not do that. They did not obey the king. And so there were those in the king's courts, if you will, that saw that Daniel would pray to his God three times a day, I think, or publicly. And so anyway, we'll pick up in verse 10. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, all these instruments, they shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them and said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? And at the time that you hear the instruments," I'm not going to read them all again, "if you don't worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Verse 15. "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." Now they're speaking to the king, and they're saying, "We don't got to talk to you. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able, to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He was furious before, but now he's full of fury. And the expression on his face, you can just picture it. How dare they? How dare they in my face say their God's going to deliver them? And so he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times. Like a furnace isn't going to do the job. Let's heat it seven times. I believe there's some meaning here for us today. We're going to look at that in a minute. So he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those who bound them and threw them in. That's how hot it got. But the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. So his face changed yet again. He was in awe that they would talk to him that way. And now he's looking in the furnace, and he says, it says he was astonished, And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking around in the midst of the fire. Just picture this. This really happened. We're going to get to talk to those boys. I am anyway. And they're not hurt. And look at this. The form of the fourth one is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Look how his tone has changed. And he said, their gods delivered them. I better suck up to them is really what he's thinking. Right? Come on. Servants of the Most High. My little gods are nothing compared to your God. He's changing his whole outlook here. Come here. And so they came from the midst of the fire. Can't you imagine? They're walking around. They're probably dancing in there. Praising God, just like Paul and Silas when they were in stocks and chains. You know, these guys are probably dancing in there, praising God. And so the satraps and the administrators, the governors, all the counselors of the king gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. No power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor their garments affected. There wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word, you think? And yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree, changing his law now. See, the king can do that. I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I want to talk to you tonight about what do you do when the fiery furnace or the heat is turned up. Because there's a lot of things here that these boys did because of whom they were and whom they knew. They knew their God. We have to know our God. We have to trust him. And so even today in America, if laws come down that are passed that tell us to turn away from the true God, what will you do? I'm going to be like these guys. I'm not going to do that. And things are happening quickly in this country. You know, I don't know if any of you saw it. I don't know if the decision's been made yet from the Supreme Court. Has it? Has it? And what was their decision? No, about the baker there baking a cake. He refused to bake a cake and for a couple of same-sex people that wanted to get married. And he's a born-again believer. And he said, I won't do it. I'm not going to create. And so it's gone to the Supreme Court. And they've been talking about it. And it's been 5 years now, I think. 4 or 5 years that this has been going on. That is monumental how this Supreme Court rules on this. Because they want to take away all of our rights. They want to kick God out of this country. But this country was founded by God. And we're Christians, and we need to stand up for the things of God. And so are we willing to? These boys did. They said, even if our lives get taken, we're still not going to serve your gods. So we see here that they knew their God. Interesting that that the king gets furious because they wanted to serve their own God. You know, it's almost like today in this country that they want to take away the rights of the Christians. It's like they protect every other religion of all the hundreds of religions, but somehow Christianity is the one they want to say, don't talk about Jesus. Same thing in the book of Acts. When they brought in Paul and they brought them in, I think it was Peter and John, and they forbid them to preach in the name. You see, because that's the truth. That's the true name. The devil's not coming against the counterfeit ones. He's going to make sure that they come against the real one. That just kind of makes sense. And so why do you think Jesus Christ is used so much? That's probably a phrase said so much on this planet. Because Jesus is the Christ. And that's the one that people will use as a defamatory speech. You know, or God damn it. You know, they want to attack. The Satan wants to attack God. And he doesn't like us either. If you haven't caught on. So these boys, they knew their God. And you see, they spent time with God every day. And I think it said that Daniel publicly opened his chambers and before the world three times a day. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that religiously to let the world see you praying. But you do need to be praying every day. Why? Because this country needs your prayer. This town needs your prayer. Your families need your prayer. Your businesses need your prayer. This church needs your prayer. Prayer is us talking to God and communicating with him so that on our behalf, he can act in this world because we're the ones that have dominion. So he needs us. He needs us to get our instruction and follow and obey him. And he needs us to be his voice piece and his hands and his feet in the earth today. And what better time than this at Christmas season that we talk about helping out with the less fortunate. And we should be helping out every part of the year and helping out with ones that are, you know, in need. But we should also be training people up to see how God raises people up financially as well. Because God's not missed it. He's got the answers for us in his book. Amen? So then we see that Nebuchadnezzar now changes his tune and he says now the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's the Most High God. And now he makes a law saying we're going to worship him because it was undeniable. We see it's the same thing today. When a miracle happens before people's eyes, they will become believers. The church needs to demonstrate. That's why Jesus said, go and lay hands on the sick. Go and cast out the devils. You do this work so that the world, he said he would confirm his word with signs following or miracles. That word signs there means miracles in the supernatural realm, proving that Jesus is Lord. And we're commanded to do that. And so we see here that Daniel and his three friends there, they weren't going to bow down to any false idol. They weren't going to bow down and worship anything but the true God. They knew their God. And so they trusted. It says in verse 28 that his servants trusted him. And so then he makes a decree. And look at in verse 30. Because of that, look how promotion came. Promotion came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they didn't cave in. They didn't relent. They stood fast on their belief that God would deliver them. And they weren't going to worship any other God. So they stood on that, and look how God turned that. He really turned that captivity of them in the fire and delivered them. But now because of that, the king says, I'm going to promote you because you do serve the real God. You see, when we stand up for the truth, God gets involved in what we're doing. It's when we through doubt and unbelief, fail to stay pursuing the things of God and the plan he's got for our life and the purposes. And when doubt and unbelief comes in, he has to stop. He can't continue and override our will. He's looking for a people that will believe him and walk by faith and not by sight. And so what do we do when the heat's turned up? That's not the time to cave in. Just like these boys, that wasn't the time. But preparation time before that, they were in the presence of God on a regular basis. They knew their God. They worshiped their God. They were close to their God. And so they didn't cave in and they didn't bow down to anything else. And God delivered them. God will deliver you when you walk by faith and not by sight. When doubt and unbelief comes in, that's when the problem is. God can't work with doubt and unbelief. And so that's important. When the heat is turned up. Now, what do I mean by that? When problems come your way, when trials come, you know, trials a lot of times come from people persecuting you. And a lot of times it's pressure they put on you. Could be at your job, could be in your family. You might get the heat because you go to church on Wednesday night in addition to Sunday. That really doesn't sit well with unbelievers. You know, they think you're way, you know, crazy. So when you have a married couple that one's a believer and one's not, then it causes trouble. Now, that's, you know, sometimes they're both unbelievers when they get married, and then one of them comes to the Lord. So that one, you know, you've really got a road ahead of you that you've got to stick with God. That's where you're going to really need to stay with God every day, because you're going to be the example that your spouse sees. Now, there's examples that, you know, I could go on all night long. At your workplace, somebody comes against you. You didn't get the promotion and you thought you should. Stay true to God and trust him. He's the one that promotes. You see, he's the one that caused that turning so that the king would promote them. But they got promoted. They went from death sentence to promotion in the kingdom of King Nebuchadnezzar. That's how quick it can turn. We don't have to figure it out and say, oh, well, if I just do this, 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 and this. No. You don't have to do all these lists of things to get God's attention. Have a relationship with him. Get into his word. That's how you have a relationship with him. He speaks to you through his word. And so I love this story because it shows their steadfastness. They're not budging. So if they went to even to the point of their death sentence and they stayed with God, don't you think the rest of their life, when a little problem came up at work or a problem came up at the home, don't you think they knew who to go to? They're going to stick with God. Because this was the most extreme. I mean, none of us, I don't think, have ever been put to the extreme point of being thrown into a furnace to see, you know, what we believed. But they said, regardless, if our God will deliver us. But they put it right back in his face. Even if he doesn't, we're not worshiping your God. That was walking by faith. That was the highest form that they could have been walking in. And they got thrown in. And we see what happened there. It just changed everything. It didn't just change for King Nebuchadnezzar. All of those people that were mentioned, all the counselors, all the ones in the magistrates and the whole court system and everybody, they heard about this. And now they had to deal with it. They had to deal with, oh, we're changing the law. King's changing the law. See, laws can be changed on your behalf. Laws can be changed on your behalf. Don't think that they can't. Our God is a big God, and all things are possible to him who believes. Amen? All right, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And so when things get turned up real hot, go to God. Go to him. Go to his word. Open up his word and say, Lord, I got this situation. I don't even know. I can't tell you how many times that when I've done that, I'll just open my Bible and it will be at the page that he had the scripture for me. Has anybody ever had that happen to you? Yeah, it's just like, wow, that's amazing. Well, we shouldn't keep being amazed when God keeps showing us what he wants to show us. But we've got to have the mindset. We've got to have enough common sense to open his word, you know? Oh, God, you know what? Talk to me, talk to me. Look, he doesn't audibly talk to us all the time. Some people, a lot of people will go through their entire life and never hear an audible voice of God. I believe I've heard it once. But once in all these years is not much. And then he just told me four words. So, you know, you can't get through life just waiting for him to speak to you in an audible voice. You got to learn how to hear him in your spirit. And you're going to do that through his word. So in John 16, in verse 33, Jesus is speaking here. He says, these things I've spoken to you that in me, how many are in him? Well, then this applies to you. In me, you may have peace. Man, that was worth coming for tonight. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you may have tribulation. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now let's look at the Amplified. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. I like that. I can have confidence knowing that no matter what situation, no matter how hot that fiery furnace gets turned up in my life, I have confidence in knowing I can still draw on the peace of God and I don't have to freak out and fall and, you know, do belly flops like a fish. I can know and have the peace of God. It says, in the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. We could keep going, but that's bad enough. But be of good cheer. Take courage. You see, you actually have to take the courage to believe God. That's faith. You have to take the courage to believe him, to trust him, that he's going to deliver you. Those three boys did. And look what happened. Jesus shows up in the middle of the fiery furnace. I believe they were walking around talking. He says, boys, I knew. I was, you know, you knew I was coming? I knew I was coming. And he probably gave them a high five and a fist bump. Be confident. Be certain. Here's one, be undaunted. Don't be daunted. For I have overcome the world. I love this here, the amplification of it. I have deprived it. I have deprived the world of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. If God be for you, who could be against you? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Spirit of the living God is inside of me. I've been given the name of Jesus, which is the name above every name. I have the sword of the Spirit. I have the Word of God. I have the name of Jesus, which goes forth and accomplishes what he desires. I thank the Lord for the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in pulling down strongholds. The word of God, the shield of faith, that stops all the enemy's advances against you. But you got to be sharp enough to hold it up in front of you, you know. Don't be strapping it on the back of you. Interesting, because there's no weapons that God has created for our backside. You know why that is? Because we're not ever supposed to be running away from the enemy. We're supposed to be doing what David did and run towards Goliath. Head on. And tell him, I'm taking your head. I love that. I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of power. Turn over to James here. A couple more scriptures that just give you encouragement here. James James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Your faith is not tested when everything is going okay. Did you know that? Your faith isn't being tested. Everything's just going fine. It's when the trial comes. It's when the pressure's on. It's when that tribulation, it's when that person comes against you and persecutes you. That's when you have to walk by faith. That's when you have to take the instruction in God's word and when it says, be kind to one another. Don't lash back at somebody and try to retaliate. You be kind to them. Jesus said that we're to love our enemies. I don't know many people. I don't know anybody that just jumps for joy over that scripture. I don't want to love my enemies. My flesh doesn't want to, but your spirit man does. And we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit in our spirit so that we can truly do that. That's something you have to do by faith. You have to love your enemies by faith. My goodness, sometimes we got to love our family members by faith. Sometimes we got to love our kids by faith. You know, sometimes we just want to wring their necks. Am I the only one? No. But we have to do it by faith. Faith, here, get this, faith works by love. So picture yourself wringing their neck in love, if you can, you know, so you can't squeeze, can you? You just put your hands around it and love them. Come on. So the testing of your faith. Know this, write this down. You will be tested. Your faith will be tested. You cannot grow and you cannot mature unless your faith is tested. It's going to be tested. So know that. Know that Jesus has already overcome. Know that his peace has been given to you. Know that you can have confidence that he's going to pull you through this, get you through this. He's going to speak through your mouth instead of you lashing out the way your carnal flesh wants to. But you can actually have seasoned words of grace coming from your lips towards somebody that's actually come against you. Somebody that's sworn to take you down, and if they're thirsty, we're supposed to give them a drink of water. That doesn't make sense in the natural realm, but that's the love of God. Amen? So, count it all joy when those things come. To be fully developed, you will have to go through some trials. Yeah, some. Could be 14,000 of them, but that's some. Your faith will be proved or tested. If you never, ever had a trial, if you never, ever were called upon to use your faith, how could you ever fulfill when God said, now the just shall live by faith, if you never had to use it? He expects us to use it every single day in every single situation, whether it be a persecution or a trial or a tribulation, and that could be a financial thing. Don't freak out and, you know, demand that your wife get a second job and send the kids to work and work more jobs. No, go to the Lord and say, God, you know what I need, and I'm supposed to have more than that so I can be a giver. So I'm calling on you. I'm asking you to show me how this is going to work for me on planet Earth. And he will show you. He will show you. Again, you've got to have confidence knowing he and trust him that he will show you. Don't get off into, and one of the things that's so easy to do is begin to speak wrong and start speaking the situation wrong and begin telling everybody how bad it is. And then get on Facebook and tell the world how bad it is. Do you know how many countless Christians are doing that? And they shouldn't be. They should be going to the Word. They should be going to the source for their situation. And not just spewing out, that's what the enemy wants us to do. We're getting over into his turf, you know? He owns a big part of that internet. I don't know if you knew that. He uses a lot of it. I don't know if he owns it, but he uses it. And he uses it for his things. So how much more should the church, should us as born-again, spirit-filled believers, be able to use that technology for good. If you're going to put anything on there and take time to get on there, bless somebody. Show them, you know, give them words of encouragement. Tell them I'm sending you a check in the mail. Do something that's good, because everything that comes out of our mouth should be pleasing to the Lord. Amen? So here, again, James says, count it all joy. It isn't joyful, but it can be joyful in your spirit, man, knowing that you're going to get through it, and you're going to get through it in victory. You're not going to cave in. You're not going to be run over. You're going to come out in flying colors. Amen? You're going to come out in better shape than you were before, whether it be relationship-wise, whether it be job-wise, whether it be finance-wise, health-wise, whatever it is, whatever the attack, whatever the trial, put your faith to work on it. Put your faith to work on that. And Bible says that the word is like a medicine. Take those scriptures and put it over that situation. Morning, noon, and night. At least that. If symptoms get worse, double up on it. Do it 6 times a day. The word of God won't return to him void. So here, James 1:4. Let patience have its perfect work. Amplified says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play, do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. You know, it's what God says we can have. And then he goes on to say, we're not going to get into that, but, I'm not going to read any further. That's another whole message on wisdom. But we need the wisdom of God, so ask for it. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Or you might ask amiss for the wrong reasons or whatever. But if you don't ever ask for wisdom, don't blame God that you're not real wise. You know? He says to ask for it, so we should ask for it. That's something we need. That's God's wisdom is the ability to know how to use information. That's what it is. It's the wisdom of God is knowing how to apply it to your life. It's knowing how to make it work in your life. And when you get revelation knowledge from him with the wisdom of God, you've got miracles happening in your life. And that's how we're supposed to live every single day. Miracles should not be something that, oh, we see every once in a while. We should be living in the miraculous. If you look at who we are and whose image we've been created in, it's nothing short of a miracle. So we shouldn't be surprised when miracles happen all the time. We should be expecting them. I think we need to be expecting more of them. So here he said to be steadfast. That one of the words, one of the meanings of steadfastness is to be established. And when I think of being established, I think of Ricky in concrete. Something that's set in concrete. At first, you can move it around, but when that thing sets up, you're not moving it. You got to be steadfast. In other words, you got to take God's word and you got to like put it in concrete. Get your feet right in there with the word of God and say, I'm not moving, and nobody's going to be able to move me because I'm stuck in concrete. No devil in hell is going to move me. Just like those 3 boys that said, King, we're not worshiping your God. Our God will deliver us. Amen? That's how much they had confidence in their God. How much confidence do you have in your God to get you through your little situations? And look, they might be big situations. I'm not making light of that. In comparison to being thrown in a furnace, most of what happens to us in our lifetime is not that severe, is it? I think you could all agree with that. Now, we do have situations. We know, you know, family members and kids get off the path, get into drugs or whatever. And that's horrific. I know that. Seen it, been there, dealt with it, going to deal with it till we leave planet Earth because the enemy's still here. But you know what? I'm going to put my confidence in God and I'm going to trust him to get me through it. And I'm not going to cave in. And so we need to mature. We need to grow. And just like James says, that we're going to be matured and we're going to grow into that place where we're made perfect, not perfect that we don't have sin, but perfect in that we're doing what God has instructed us to do and it works. I don't know about you, but I want things to work. The things of God, I want them to work for me. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. If they didn't work for me, I'd have quit this a long time ago. If nothing ever worked, I say, God, it just doesn't work. And I, you know, my granddaughter, I preached a whole message on it. I think it was Dakota, when she was about 3 years old. She'd get frustrated in something. I think it was like even putting on her coat. And she says, it's not working. She couldn't get her arm in, you know, because it's all bunched up and stuff. She says, it's not working. And I've never forgotten her saying that. And how often do I talk with people that really what they're saying is, it's not working. I say, okay, well, let's just back up. Let's take our time here and look at what's not working. Because I know God's word works. So if we can identify where you got off from faith and get over into it's not working land, because Satan is controlling it's not working land. He doesn't want it to work for you. He doesn't want you to believe God. He doesn't want you to trust God. He wants you to think that God is so far away that he doesn't care about you and your problems and he's just abandoned you. But that's a big fat lie. Is God right on the inside of you? Praise God. Praise God. James says that we're going to have the proving of our faith. Through these, you're made complete or mature, fully developed. That's what I was trying to think of. Fully developed. Fully developed. We can get there, but it's a process. And so every little trial that comes, you know, WWJD and then WWPG we have now, what would please God. You missed that one. We have bracelets now that says what would please God. If you were here, I would have probably flung one at you. But you know, if we could just assess situations before we open our mouth and you know, put our mouth in gear, if we could just assess it through the eyes of God, through the word of God, and say, okay, God, how are we going to get through this situation? Such and such is happening, and I don't like it, and I don't want it to be that way, and I can't make it stop, and I can't make somebody else stop, or whatever. And so we've got to go to the Lord, and we've got to seek his wisdom on it. And so it's a trial. We don't like it, no more than, I mean, I don't know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, from the story, it doesn't sound like they care less if they got thrown in that thing. That's how sure they were of their God. We've got to get that sure. That no matter what situation happens, no matter what the phone call says when it's made, no matter what the report of the doctor, it's like, okay, whatever. We're sticking with God. Whose report will you believe? Isaiah 53:1. It always comes down to that. Whose report will you believe? Oh, when you think of it that way, of course I'm going to believe God. Okay. Well, hopefully the next time something happens, you'll think of that. You know? But that's the way we need to train ourselves so that first words are God's words. I'm convinced first words are critical to the outcome and the success that you get or the lack of success. First words. First words. We want to be speaking God's words. He says, count it all joy. Why count it all joy? Because you're going to benefit from it. You're going to profit from it. You're going to be matured. You're going to be developed. You're going to come to a better place than you were before that trial happened. So bad things can happen in your life, and you can actually develop and be stronger coming through that thing. Jesus said the things are coming. I like it that we can be developed and more mature coming out of it. I like it that we can have the victory. I like it that we're more than conquerors. Amen. All right. So point number one was count it all joy. Point number two, and we're going to finish here in just a second. Point number two, I've been saying it all night. Get into the word. Get into the word. Get into the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It comes by hearing by the word of God. Matthew 7:24. Let's just turn there, because these are the words of Jesus, and I like what he says here. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, so here he, you know, whoever hears the word of God and does them. See, you always have to, we're always required to do something with the word, not just be a hearer only. It's good you have to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, but you do need to step out now and do something. So whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You cannot fall in any situation when you found it on the rock. Look what happens to the one that didn't. Everyone who hears, so these are still people that hear. These are still people that come to church. These are still people watching on TV, listening to CDs. They hear the sayings, but they don't do them. He's not talking about those that don't hear. He's talking about those that hear. Don't be a hearer that doesn't do the word. It says he'll be likened to a fool, a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall, the whole house. You can read into that whatever you want, but if the whole house falls, that means the whole family. You parents, you're responsible for the welfare of your children when they're living with you. Once they're out and about and they're older of their own age, now they're on their own. You can still pray for them, but it's not the same as if when you have authority over them as child, as children. And what you do can cause calamity. What you can do can open doors and bring things into your household that you're not going to like the results of. And you don't want to be doing that. Now, mind you, you know, this is the Wednesday night bunch. You're pretty sharp. But there's people that listen online. There's people that, you know, come here because they heard messages online. Well, I hope this one doesn't scare them away. This is a good message. Stick with God, you get good results. Abandon him, you get bad results. Stick with him, you go into the fiery furnace, you come out and you don't even smell like smoke. Praise God. That's good. That's good. All right. Closing it down here. Build on the rock. Get into the word. Number three, speak the word only. I kind of referred to that earlier about first words. Speak the word only. That means speak God's word. Your words need to line up with God's words. When they do, you'll be successful. When they don't, you're going to be whining and crying because things aren't going to work out right. It's that simple. God's kingdom is not difficult to operate in. But it does require us to be faithful. It does require us to be diligent. It does require us to obey and to do the sayings that Jesus talked about. Amen. Well, why don't you stand to your feet? Father, we thank you for Wednesday night pep talk. We thank you, Lord, for your word that does not return to you void. It accomplishes what you desire. It prospers wherever you send it. Father, I thank you that we've grasped a hold of this word tonight, that we have had ears to hear, we have had hearts to receive it, and that we will be doers of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming. Be blessed.